Hare Krishna. So yesterday we are discussing about Yuddha Kanda, which is also known as Lanka Kanda. And in that we discussed that how Ravana was defeated by Ram and Ramchandra let Ravan go. So in this way, being defeated practically for the first time in his life. Prior to that, Ravan was not really defeated, but he was harassed, and then he made friends with them. Like one person was Bali. Ravan challenged Bali. When Bali was chanting his Gayatri in the northern ocean. So Bali was chanting Gayatri, so he was in meditation. So Ravan came and attacked. So Bali, with his tail, he captured Ravan. And he kept him there for some time. And then after chanting his Gayatri, he went from one corner of the universe to another corner. He traveled in this way, carrying Ravan. So then this was the strength of Bali actually, Sugriva's elder brother. So then Bali harassed Ravan in this way, and Ravan realized that Bali was so powerful, so he made friends with Bali. He said, let us become friends. But here, Ravan was literally defeated by Ram. But Ramchandra let Ravan go, said that, okay, go take some rest and then come back. So Ravan went back to his palace. Then he called his ministers. And then Ravan admitted that when, by performing austerities, severe austerities for 10,000 years, when he pleased Lord Brahma, then Brahma gave him the benediction that he wanted, that he wouldn't be defeated by the devas, the rakshasas, the daityas, the asuras, and gandharvas, and all, he named all. But he did not mention about the human being. So, afterwards, Brahma actually told Ravan that be careful about the human beings. He warned him, he told him that you didn't ask about the human beings, but be careful about, because indicating that they will be the ultimate cause of your destruction. You will die in the hand of a human being. Then Ravan recalled that when he was fighting with one king of Ikshaku dynasty called Anaranya, Anaranya was defeated by Ravan, and Ravan killed him. So before dying, Anaranya, King Anaranya, told him that a member of my dynasty will kill you in the future. Then Ravan recalled that once when he molested Vedavati, the girl who was performing austerity to have Vishnu as her husband, then Vedavati cursed. Vedavati burned herself with the fire generated from her body, because Ravan just held her by her hair, and she considered that just by the touch of Ravan, her body has become impure. Her body became polluted, and this body was not good enough for Vishnu because this demon had touched her. So she decided to kill herself. by generating a fire from her own body. And before leaving her body, Vedavati warned Ravan that I will come again and I'll be the cause of your death. And Ravan told his ministers that I suspect that Sita is that Vedavati. She has come. And then Ravan recalled and narrated to the ministers that once when he lifted Mount Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, then Uma, Lord Shiva's eternal consort, became perturbed. And Uma cursed Ravan that you wicked Rakshasa, a woman will become the cause of your death. Because you have disturbed me, a woman will become the cause of your death. Then once Ravan laughed at Nandishwar. Nandishwar is the carrier of Lord Shiva. And he has the face of a monkey. So he laughed at his monkey face, and so Nandishwar cursed him that his whole family will be destroyed by the monkeys. Then another time, Ravan molested Rambha when she was going to Nalakuver, Kuvera's son. And so Rambha also cursed him that a woman will be the cause of his death. And in a similar way, Brahma also told him that if he ever molested or raped a woman, then his head will fall into 100 pieces due to his molesting Punjikasthali, another apsara. Nalakuver also cursed him in this way. So he started to think, Ravan started to describe in this way, that it seems that all my sinful activities are now about to bear their fruits. Which means now Ravan could foresee that his death is nearing. He is seeing all the signs that his death is nearing. So he said, then he told his ministers that although I can foresee all this, but as a hero, I can't give up my fight, my struggle. And I have to use all possible means to defend myself. Now, Kumbhakarna is invincible. So please wake up Kumbhakarna and let him destroy the monkey army along with Ravan and Lakshman. Now Kumbhakarna was cursed by Brahma, which had been described by Vibhishan. I'll come to that later. So this is how Ravan actually urged the ministers to wake up Kumbhakarna. So they all agreed, yes, we'll wake up Kumbhakarna, which was not an easy job. So because Kumbhakarna was cursed to sleep for 6 months and remain awake for 1 day. And then after that day, he'll fall asleep again. And 9 days back, Kumbhakarna actually woke up for 1 day. Now, right after 9 days, when he fell asleep, it was decided that Kumbhakarna should be awakened, which was not an easy job. So, the cave that Kumbhakarna used to sleep had a huge door. So after a great struggle, the Rakshasa army opened the door. But as they opened the door, they all got flung out. They all got thrown out because Kumbhakarna's breathing and snoring was so heavy that it was like a storm. And like they all got blown away with the storm of Kumbhakarna's, caused by Kumbhakarna's breathing. Then they tried to wake up Kumbhakarna in many ways. First they tried to beat him up with a huge mess. To Kumbhakarna it seemed that somebody was caressing him. Then they started, Rakshasa started to bite in his body with their sharp teeth. Kumbhakarna's body was bleeding, but still he didn't wake up. Then they got many, many elephants to climb on his body. And these are all war elephants. They climbed onto Kumbhakarna's body in order to wake him up. So in this way, after a great endeavor, Kumbhakarna woke up. And half in a doze, Kumbhakarna, in a very irritated way, asked him, "Why are you waking me up? I can foresee that some calamity has struck Lanka. Otherwise, why would you wake me up? Tell me what happened." So then very gently, the ministers approached him and described what actually happened. That Ravan is in great distress and Ravan now needs his help to annihilate Ram and Lakshman along with their monkey army. So then Kumbhakarna said, "Okay, I'll take care of. I'll eat up all the monkeys and then I'll kill Ram and Lakshman. But tell me first, should I go straight to the battlefield or should I go to meet Ravan? Find out." So Ravan informed that, "No, let Kumbhakarna come to me. And before that, you feed him nicely." So they had all kinds of food arranged for him. And they carried 200 buckets of wine for him to drink. And so after drinking and eating, Kumbhakarna, still blood dripping from his mouth after chewing all those living entities, he went to Ravan. And after going to Ravan, he told that, "I told you to send Sita back. You stole her without consulting with anybody, and now you are asking for our help. You should have listened to the advice of Bibhishan and your wife Mandodari. Both of them advised you to return Sita to Ram. And I am telling you, please return Sita to Ram. Still you have time." So Ravan got disturbed, but he controlled his anger. Whoever told Ravan to return Sita back, Ravan just could not accept that advice. Instead, he became rather angry with them. Even his commander-in-chief, Prahastha, before dying, before going to his final battle where he died, he told Ravan that, "I think you should return Sita back." But anyway, when Ravan insisted, "No, I'll never give Sita back." So So then Prahasta says, okay, you are the king, so it's my duty to obey your order, and I am prepared to give my life for your sake. But please pay heed to this advice. So in this way, when Kumbhakarna also suggested that please give Sita back, Ravan became perturbed. He became very disturbed. But still, he was a diplomat, so he kind of told Kumbhakarna, look, my brother, what to do now? Now I can't retreat. I am in the middle of a battle. So you rectify my error. I made a mistake. Now you rectify the error by killing Ram and Lakshman. Then Kumbhakarna said, yes, I will do that for your sake, Ravan. But in future, always take my permission before you do something. So when Kumbhakarna arrived in the battlefield, he crossed the wall of Lanka and came into the battlefield. And when he came to the battlefield, the monkeys, when they saw, although they are brave heroes, they started to run in fear. Some of them ran to Ram and took his shelter. Some of them didn't know where to go, so they just started to run here and there. And some of the monkeys, just seeing him, they just fell on the ground. So Sugriv actually became very disturbed. He started to tell them that a hero rather prefers to die in the battlefield than run away from the battlefield. Don't become cowards. Wake up and fight. So Ram also saw Kumbhakarna in his huge form. So seeing him, he asked Bibhishan, who is this? So Bibhishan told him that this is actually Kumbhakarna, Ravan's younger brother. And he is the son of the sage Vishrava. His name is Kumbhakarna. He is the largest of all the Rakshasas. And he defeated even Lord Indra, Jamraj. He defeated the Lord of Death, Jamraj also. And when Kumbhakarna was born, he started to eat everybody. And then Brahma actually gave him that. Brahma told him that you have actually been born to cause the destruction, but the time of destruction hasn't come, so you sleep until then. But then Ravan pleaded to him that please, this poor child is just born and you are depriving him of his life. So on Ravan's appeal, Brahma suggested, okay, for one day Kumbhakarna can be awake. And then again he'll fall asleep. When he'll fall asleep, he will sleep for 6 months again. So this is how, that is why Kumbhakarna is to sleep for 6 months and stay awake for one day. And Bibhishan concluded that Ravana has untimely awakened Kumbhakarna, which is not good. That kind of indicated that Kumbhakarna would die. Because the condition was that if anybody woke up Kumbhakarna, then Kumbhakarna would die that day. So, when Kumbhakarna came to the battlefield, he actually, so as I said, like all the monkeys were afraid, but then Angad provoked the monkeys, inspired the monkeys to come to the battlefield and fight. So they attacked Kumbhakarna. But Kumbhakarna, in just one sweep of his hand, no, one sweep of his gigantic mess, he actually killed 8,700 monkeys. Swinging his club in all sides. And then he started to catch the monkeys, as many as 30 monkeys in one grip, and started to put them into his mouth, swallowing them, eating them. So he was actually causing a disaster. So then Hanuman tried to hurl a mountain peak on Kumbhakarna, but the just by his, with his hand, he just struck that mountain peak, and that it broke into pieces. Then Hanuman came in front of him, and he hurled another mountain peak. Kumbhakarna avoided that blow, but then he threw his spear to Hanuman in retaliation, and it pierced Hanuman's chest, and Hanuman started to vomit blood, and he cried out in pain. Then Nila, the general of the monkeys, immediately came to confront Hanuman, Kumbhakarna with the monkeys, and hurled a mountain peak at Kumbhakarna, and that also Kumbhakarna, just with his fist, he broke it into pieces. And then the five monkey heroes, Rishava, Sarava, Nila, Gavaska and Gabaksha and Gandhamada, then pounced upon Kumbhakarna all at once. But the giant Rakshasa and they started to pound on him. But the Rakshasa felt as if they were loving caresses. Kumbhakarna caught hold of Rishava, and after squeezing him in his hand, he threw him down unconscious on the ground. And he struck the other four monkeys with his hand. And in this way, Kumbhakarna was fighting, and nobody could actually stand in front of him. Even Hanuman couldn't stand in front of him. Then Angad suddenly rushed towards Kumbhakarna, and flinging a mountain peak on his head, which simply enraged Kumbhakarna. And Kumbhakarna slapped him, and then picked him up. And then actually Angad hit Kumbhakarna so hard that Kumbhakarna became sort of unconscious. He fell to the ground unconscious. But he quickly got up and hit Angad with the back of his hand, causing him to fall down in daze. Then Kumbhakarna picked up his spear and rushed to Sugriv. And Sugriv took up a mountain peak and opposed him. But when Sugriv hurled the giant mountain peak, a giant mass of rock, at Kumbhakarna's chest, it merely shattered into million pieces. And the Rakshasas shouted with joy and the monkeys grew despondent. Kumbhakarna violently hurled his spear at Sugriv, roaring like a lion. And Hanuman had been carefully watching the duel, and upon seeing Sugriva's plight, Hanuman suddenly leapt up and caught the spear in mid-air, breaking it into half. So that made him even more angry. The monkey roared with delight upon seeing the extraordinary feat, leaving Kumbhakarna disheartened. Then Kumbhakarna picked up a mountain peak and he hurled it at Sugriv. And being struck by that, Sugriv became unconscious. Then Kumbhakarna picked up Sugriv and he took him under his arm and he walked back to Lanka as a captive. Then all the monkeys started to cry. But seeing this, Hanuman thought, if Sugriv is taken prisoner, then our cause will be lost, because Sugriv is the king. So all the monkeys will lose their heart. And then he thought, I shall expand myself and to become as huge as a mountain and then kill Kumbhakarna. But then he thought that if I do that, it will be a disgrace to Sugriv, because Sugriv had to be rescued by me, and so that will not be good. So he felt that Sugriv will surely regain his consciousness and somehow free himself. If the king has to be rescued by somebody, then he'll simply be humiliated. So Hanuman decided not to do that. Now in the meantime, Kumbhakarna entered Lanka with Sugriv as his captive. And seeing Kumbhakarna has captured Sugriv, all the residents of Lanka started to shower rice paddy, dhan, and water, sprinkling water on him. So that water actually helped Sugriv regain his consciousness. Being splashed with water, he came back to his consciousness. And then he, getting his bearing, he actually tore off Kumbhakarna's earlobes with his sharp nail. And then he started to pull out Kumbhakarna's sides. That means he injured Kumbhakarna severely. And then with another leap, he just came back to Lord Ramchandra. After attacking Kumbhakarna in this way, freeing himself, Sugriv came back to Ramchandra. Ram sighed within an instant. So everyone was very delighted, and Ram told Sugriv he reminded Sugriv not to be hasty like that. He should be careful, because he is the king. And the king should not go into the battle unless it is absolutely necessary. The king should be protected by his army. So, in this way, Ram warned. And in the meantime, Kumbhakarna again came back to the battlefield. Lakshman then came to attack Kumbhakarna. But Kumbhakarna said, "You youngster, you get out of my way. I want to fight with Ram, not his younger brother." So then Lakshman pointed out, yes, there is Ram. Go fight with him. So then Ram and Kumbhakarna had a long battle, long fight. Then at the end, Ram cut off Kumbhakarna's right hand. Then Kumbhakarna started to fight with his left hand. Then Ram, with another arrow, cut off his left hand. Then still Kumbhakarna was fighting. So Ram then cut off both his legs. Then Kumbhakarna, assuming a gigantic form, tried to devour Ram, opening his mouth. Then Ram shot thousands of arrows. And then finally, he used a special weapon called Oindra Astra, and he tore off Kumbhakarna's head. And when Kumbhakarna's head was severed from his body, the head fell on Lanka, and it broke many, many buildings, palaces, and blocked the highway of Lanka. And the other half, his body fell into the ocean. They were fighting near the ocean, so his body fell on the ocean. And his body was half submerged in the ocean. The half of the body was under the water, and other half of the body, upper half of the body, was above water. It was such a gigantic Rakshasa. When Ravan was informed that Kumbhakarna is dead, then he became very heartbroken. So then Ravan was actually feeling very, very morose. Then one of his sons, called Trishira, he consoled Ravan, saying, "Father, do not lament. I have immense power and weapons awarded by Lord Brahma. And my other brothers, Devantaka, Narantaka and Atikaya, they're all expert in conjuring magic tricks. So they can also fly, they can fly in the sky and fight. So now we shall go together and kill Ram, Lakshman and the monkey warriors. So please give us your permission." So Ravan became enlivened again. And he ordered, "Okay, you can go and fight." And he decorated his four sons with ornaments and garlands, and then four of them went to the battlefield with two generals, Mahaparsha and Mahodara. And this way, the six powerful warriors headed for the battlefield, followed by enormous army of Rakshasas. And in this battle also, although they were extremely powerful, and the monkey army of Ram was facing great difficulties, but eventually they all also died. All six of them died in that battle. And meanwhile, I'll just read it out. It's very interesting. The first one to confront them was Angad. So Sugriv ordered Angad to attack the son of Ravan. The unarmed Angad thus approached Narantak, challenging, "Why are you wasting your time fighting with common monkeys? Throw your spear at me, at my chest, if you consider yourself to be a great hero." Now he stood in front of him and said, hurl your spear at me, at my chest. And Narantak did that. And it's saying, biting his lip in rage, Narantak suddenly hurled his spear. However, when it struck Angad, it broke into fragments. The spear broke into fragments. He hurled it at his chest, but the spear, after striking, broke into pieces and fell to the ground. Angad then charged forward and smashed his fist on the head of Narantak's horse. The horse fell dead with a fractured skull. And the infuriated Narantak jumped to the ground, retaliating by smashing Angad's skull with his fist. As blood poured from his wounds, Angad reeled back, but quickly came to his senses. Again rushed forward with his fist clenched. Angad brought it down with full force upon his adversary. The mighty blow crushed Narantak's entire chest, making him fall dead upon the battlefield. So the amazing thing is that although the Rakshasas were fighting with the most sophisticated weapons, and the monkeys did not have anything. They did not use weapons. They are not skilled in used weapons, the monkeys. So they could fight only with stones, rocks, and mountain peaks, and trees, uprooted trees. Now, because they're fighting with Lord Ramchandra, they are empowered. That is the point that we have to understand here. Ravan's army was so sophisticated that even Indra couldn't fight with him, with the demigods. The demigods couldn't fight with Ravan and his army. They were so powerful. The demigods have their celestial weapons. But all those celestial weapons, they could not defeat Ravan and his army. Whereas here the monkeys, they're fighting just with some stones and rocks and tree trunks and iron rods at the most. But they were unharmed. They were actually, the Rakshasas were losing this battle. Now what does it actually prove? This proves that when you fight on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then He will empower you. As I was describing yesterday, they were throwing stones, but those stones became more powerful than thunderbolts. That is the meaning of empowered. Not only they themselves were empowered, what they were using also was empowered by the potency of the Lord. And here we can see Narantak, I mean, they had Brahmastras and they were such powerful ones. He was blessed by Brahma, Narantak, and he had Brahmastra. But they were useless in front of Ram's army. Because who is Brahma in front of Ram? What is Brahma's weapon with Ram's empowered army? On the other hand, Sugriva struck him with his own hand on the chest. Just a punch. And Narantaka's body was shattered and he left his body. So that is the meaning of being empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. Ram was both pleased and astonished to witness Angad's heroic feat. Although he is empowering, at the same time he is astonished to see Angad's feat. Mahodhara, one of the generals of Ravana, could not who was also Ravana's brother-in-law, could not tolerate to see the death of his nephew. He angrily rushed to Angad along with Devantak and Trishira. When he saw the three Rakshasas were approaching, Angad tore up a giant tree, hurling it at Devantak. Trishira easily cut the tree to pieces with his arrows. Angada continued to shower trees and rocks, but to no avail. Mahodhara then approached Angad while riding upon his elephant and struck him in the chest with a spiked club. Angad, however, was not even slightly disturbed by the blow and violently struck the elephant with his hand. When the gigantic beast fell down dead, Angad tore out one of his tusks and hurled it at Devantak, wounding him severely. However, Devantak quickly recovered and struck Angad with his club, making the prince fall to his knees. Even though Angad sprang to his feet, Trishira struck him in the forehead with three arrows. Hanuman and Neela rushed to the prince's aid. Neela hurled a mountain peak at Trishira, and as the three-headed Rakshasa smashed it to pieces, Devantak rushed to Hanuman with his club held high. Hanuman leapt into the air to avoid Devantaka's blow, simultaneously striking the Rakshasa on the head with his clenched fist. Like Hanuman jumped to avoid the blow of the mess, but while flying, he hit Devantaka with his fist, with his clenched fist. And just that smashed the Rakshasa's skull, and Devantaka fell down dead on the battlefield. So Hanuman killed Devantaka. So finally, after Mahodhara was killed by Neela, and Trishira then attacked, then Hanuman actually took care of him. Hanuman grabbed him, grabbed Trishira by one of his necks, and he severed all three necks of the Rakshasa one by one. Trishira had three heads. So Hanuman just wrenched the heads from his body and threw them away. Then Mahaparsha, Rishava killed Mahaparsha, and all six were dead. The last one was Atikaya, who was taken care of by Ravan. Atikaya had a huge body also. So when he came to the battlefield, then everyone thought, all the monkeys thought, that maybe Kumbhakarna came back to life again. And he came back to the battlefield. So Atikaya rushed to Rama, challenging him with insulting words that enraged Lakshman. So Lakshman confronted him. And Atikaya took his own arrow and said, "You're merely a youngster and should leave the battlefield while you are still able to do so. Why do you foolishly stand before me acting as if you want to give up your life?" At this time, Vayu approached Lakshman the Pavandev, by the god, the lord of Vayu, the demigod controlling Vayu, approached Lakshman saying, the armor Atikar wears were formerly given to him by Lord Brahma and is impenetrable. So the armor that Atikar is wearing has been given by Brahma and is impenetrable by any weapon. Therefore, you should employ your Brahmastra to vanquish your enemy. So Brahma gave the armor, so that is invincible to any other weapon except Brahmastra. So he urged Lakshman to use the Brahmastra. Lakshman fitted his ultimate weapon onto his bowstring and fired it at Atikai. The Rakshasa shot many arrows to counteract the Brahmastra. When he saw that the weapon remained unimpeded, he began to hurl spears, clubs and axes, but to no avail. Indeed, the Brahmastra quickly knocked off Atikai's enormous head. As the severed head rolled on the ground, the dejected Rakshasas rushed back to the shelter of Lanka, while the monkeys ran to congratulate Lakshman. Upon hearing the news of Atikaya's death, Ravan became deeply depressed. Feeling the situation hopeless, he brooded, Ram and Lakshman are inconceivably powerful with the astonishing prowess. They have already slain the best of my warriors. I can now understand that Ram is Lord Narayan himself, appearing in a human form. Although I had been previously informed of this fact, I considered it to be merely the ravings of cowards and fanatics. Who can possibly defeat Ram? So seeing his father with tears in his eyes and overwhelmed with grief and lamentation, Indrajit spoke up. As long as I am still alive, there is no reason for you to grieve in this way. My dear father, I promise you that I will kill Ram and Lakshman this very day. So Indrajit was the eldest son of Ravan, and Bibhishan actually described that Indrajit was as powerful as Ravan himself. He was as powerful as Ravan in all respects. And not only that, Indrajit had the benediction that he could fight being invisible. So he could shoot weapons, but nobody could see him. So that made him actually inconquerable. And in this way, he defeated even Indra. Therefore, he got the name Indrajit, one who conquered even Indra. So, in this way, Indrajit actually consoled his father, and he is now ready to lose his life. Thank you very much. So, we'll give a 15 minutes break. Then we'll describe how Indrajit fell. That's a very interesting episode. And then finally, how Ravana fell. So, our business is to understand the supreme powerful personality of God. Who is the most powerful? The most powerful is the Supreme Personality of God. Materially, Ravan seemed to be very powerful. From material calculation, Ravan was very powerful. But who can stand against the power of the Supreme Personality of God? His power is inconceivable because his power is spiritual. So similarly, we have to understand that materially, no matter how difficult the situation may seem to be, But we should never give up our shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. Now that time in Treta Yuga, it was the time when Rakshasas prevailed. Ravana was their king. And he seemed to be extremely powerful, the most powerful person in the entire universe, practically. But he was defeated by Ravana and his monkey army, army of monkeys. Now in this age, in the Kali Yuga, there may be different types of adversaries. The demons will appear to us opposing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many other ways. Now should we be afraid of them? Are you sure? That's why we have to listen to Ramchandra's pastimes. Don't you get courage and strength by hearing the pastime? Don't you get the confidence that if we stand with Krishna, if we stand with Ramchandra, we have nothing to fear? If we are under their shelter, we have nothing to fear. And Ramchandra assured, do you remember from yesterday's class, what is the benefit of taking shelter? What is the benefit of surrendering to Ramchandra? That even if we pretentiously surrender to him, even if we surrender to him with an ill intention of even killing him, if we surrender to him even with an intention of harming him, he will accept us. Just that word, just that statement, that Ram, I am taking shelter of you. Krishna, I am taking shelter of you. Without even meaning it, if we say that to him, then he will accept us. We should not have any doubt about that. And then Krishna, what will do when we take shelter of him? Ramchandra, what did he say? That I protect him not only until his death, not only I'll take care of him for during this life, I will take care of him even after his death. I'll take care of him even in his next life, and life after life. So that is how magnanimous the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. So who will not take shelter of him? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.